Welcome back to the A-Level Politics Show on this cold, freezing December day. Today, we will return to ideologies and focus specifically on liberalism and one of the key areas to target, human nature. The question we will examine is this: to what extent do liberals share similar views over human nature? Now, I think it's my third specific pod on liberalism. Check out episode 103 on freedom and society, episode 98 on whether liberalism is a unified ideology, and episode 1, liberalism and the state. Episode 1, back when it all started. For some of those, you'll need to subscribe to Plus. For just £1.99 a month, you get full access to the back catalogue of podcasts, every single one I've produced, plus 2 bonus pods per month. Oh, and for tips on how to write ideologies questions more broadly, why not check out episode 87 on how to answer these difficult questions? But there, I'm coming to realise that there are more than one way to skin a cat. And that's a really funny phrase, isn't it? But I think there's a number of different approaches you can take to writing essays on ideologies. So stay tuned here as I devise a new way, and I think a better way, to answer ideologies questions. I'm going to give some of my tips on that in today's pod. And on that, let's get on with this question. To what extent do liberals share similar views over human nature? Now, the key thing with any ideologies essay is that you have to ensure your piece is strands-led. This is an essay about liberalism, and since there are only 2 strands in the specification, modern liberal and classical liberal, then it's actually easier to answer, I think, a liberalism question than on any other ideology. I will be arguing that on human nature, these 2 strands, classical liberal and modern liberal, largely disagree. I will attempt to focus on 2 main areas. I'm telling my students that when it comes to ideologies, ideologies questions, that I want them to move to writing, instead of 3 chunky paragraphs, 2 super chunkies. That's right, 2 super chunkies. You only have 30 minutes for an ideologies questions. So really, you should spend 12 and a half minutes on these super chunkies. Okay, I will stop making that noise. 12 and a half minutes on each super chunky, and then 5 minutes on your conclusion, maybe 4 minutes and 1 minute to write your direction at the start, which should just be one sentence long. My sentence in this question is that liberals largely disagree over human nature. So what do you write in these super chunkies? The key thing is that each one has a theme, a clear theme that you compare the strands by. This theme obviously has to tie in to the actual question. So the 2 themes, one for each super chunky, that I will be covering today is 1, human rationality and how to reflect or respect it, and 2, the centrality of the individual and how to or whether to harness human potential. My super chunkies will, just like my 30 markers, start with the weak argument that there is agreement, and then end on the stronger argument that there isn't, spelling out the ways the strands disagree. Okay, so here goes. If there's one takeaway that you have from this podcast episode, it is that liberals all believe, classical or liberal and liberal, believe that humans are rational, and that from that belief in human rationality stems every other belief that they have, be it on the economy, on society, on the state. So they think humans are capable of reason, and that they have enormous potential. This belief that humans are rational is supported both by classical and modern liberals, as I've just said. Mill spoke of the boundless potential of humans and their innate rationality. Wollstonecraft extended this belief to include women. They too were rational. Individuals can therefore be trusted to run their own affairs. Thus, or perhaps consequently, both modern liberal and classical liberals support freedom from arbitrary state control. The liberal view that individuals are rational results in their support for a limited government that does not possess draconian powers. Why would it need to if individuals were well capable of running their own lives? The state is created by individuals for individuals. It is a mechanism for individuals, or what Locke described as mechanistic theory. It is not created by God or by those who claim to be acting with the authority of God. It is created by rational individuals who don't believe in any of that, and are instead acting in their own self-interest. Humans, Locke claims, rationally enter into a social contract with their government. The government provides protection while defending the rights of these rational individuals. Because humans are rational, any governance over them must be derived from their consent. Even modern liberals believe that an enabling state, which we will come on to in a sec, is something that should be consented to and one that should not scupper freedom and liberty. It is something that individuals would also see in their own rational self-interest. Notice how I keep repeating rationality because, hey peeps, that is the theme of the paragraph. Liberals do believe that humans are rational and capable, but also acknowledge that they could act selfishly and break contracts. Therefore, a state is required to act as a neutral umpire between individuals. In this sense, all liberals, modern liberal, classical liberal, believe that the state is a necessary evil, since human nature is one that, while rational, can also result in selfishness. Yet, this view that liberals are united over human rationality lacks a degree of merit. Both classical and modern liberals argue that human rationality, which, yes, they both agree exists, leads to very different viewpoints as to the kinds of state that humans would rationally call for. Only modern liberals support an enabling state, since they say humans make a rational decision to have a safety net in case they need it. Classical liberals, meanwhile, think that no rational human being would want a curtailment to their property rights, in its broadest sense, taxes on their wealth to pay for the needs of others. Locke saw the state as one that would be limited to protecting property rights, with the state as a neutral umpire. Indeed, a welfare state or an enabling state would, according to classical liberals, undermine the concept of a night watchman limited state, which to them is all rational human beings would naturally want. Meanwhile, modern liberals believe that humans would rationally, that word again, make a decision to have a more supportive state. Rawls's veil of ignorance imagined a world where no one knew their position in society and posed questions to the inhabitants of that world regarding the things they would want in case they found themselves at the bottom of the social structure. Because humans are rational, wrote Rawls, they would rationally choose a world where the risk of the potential for their own individual suffering was minimised, especially if they had no idea which side of the street they would end up on. Thus, we can see that while there is support for the concept of human rationality and capability, there is a divide between modern liberals and classical liberals over what that human rationality would naturally lead humans to demand. Would it be a limited government that would do very little for them and leave them alone, or would it be a government that would be there for them in time of need? This leads us neatly on to the next theme, which is individuality. So the theme of my next Super Chunky is this idea of the centrality of the individual and how to, or whether to, harness human potential. So in my last paragraph, I spoke mainly about the state and why rationally humans would opt for different types of state due to their rationality. And I came to the conclusion that liberals were quite divided over what state they would choose rationally. Here, I'm going to start again with my weaker argument that liberals are fairly united about the role of the individual, i.e. that they think the individual is central to any thinking, whether it be from government or society or the economy. So all decisions made by the state should be centred around the individual, not an imagined group that has been artificially created. This individual-centric world can be seen in the work of our key thinkers. Wollstonecraft coined the phrase foundational equality, the idea that all individuals should have equality before the law. Friedan spoke about using legislation, specifically anti-discrimination laws, to extend individual freedom. It also fits in with this idea of tolerance, or in more recent parlance, societal freedom. Humans should, according to Locke, worship how they like, whatever suits the individual. Betty Friedan simply extends Locke's view of religious freedom to include acceptance of freedom for the sexes. A woman, too, should be free to do what she likes. For liberals, society should tolerate what individuals should do. the social mores of the day, let's say the Victorian desire for women to avoid showing their ankles, shock, should be set aside by individuals. If they want to show their ankles, they should be able to show their ankles. If you want to get a tattoo of, I don't know, the A-Level Politics Show podcast logo, then be my guest. I cannot confirm or deny that any of my acquaintances have yet done that. Both modern liberals and classical liberals accept that there is a realm of the individual, private behaviour that should be left free from state interference or societal interference, and the realm of the state, matters that need state interference due to potential negative effects upon other individuals. But those calls must be made with the individuals in mind. Enter John Stuart Mill's harm principle, the idea that individuals, humans, should be free to do what they want so long as they don't do harm to others. This is why most liberals support legislation, they support the legalisation of marijuana, since many believe it comes under the realm of the individual and the right to consume whatever one so desires. What is more, classical and modern liberals accept that individuals crave this freedom. As humans, we crave this freedom and the absence of restraint or arbitrary interventions to engineer a society that doesn't work for them. This is why both modern liberals and classical liberals support the belief in a meritocracy where the cream rises to the top. Even rules accepted that once helped by the state, individuals should be left to rise and fall. Neither modern liberals or classical liberals believe that you can socially engineer a society to be fully equal, like some socialists advocate, as they believe that ultimately each human is unique and thus you need an economic system that promotes human individualism, hence the support for capitalism from both modern liberals and classical liberals. However, modern liberals and classical liberals have fundamentally different ideas on how to best foster individualism and individual human fulfillment. Classical liberals believe in egotistical individualism, emphasising the self-interestedness of human beings. Human nature, for classical liberals, is largely fixed in a self-interested state, which logically leads to a state or government and a society that should ask less of humans. It is their tendency, humans, that is, tendency to be unkind and to think of themselves, and they should be largely free to get on with that and maximising their own happiness, unless, as Mill argues, they cause physical harm to others. Yet modern liberals tend to emphasise developmental individualism. Mill believed that human nature was actually not fixed, that human flourishing knows no bounds. Mill believed that education is proof that individuals have boundless potential, hence Wollstonecraft's support for girls' education, similar to New Labour's emphasis on education, education, education. Mill himself wrote that to bring a child into existence without a fair prospect is a moral crime. If the parent does not fulfil this obligation, the state ought to see it fulfilled. Thus, the belief in developmental education naturally leads to a more enabling state, as supported by John Rawls and the increased taxation that implies, whereas classical liberals, who like Locke believe in the fixed state of human nature, downplay the importance of education and the state's responsibility to provide it. In summary, liberals believe in a society and a state and an economy that values individualism, yes, but they have different, very different views on how that individualism is fostered. We see this disagreement over individualism extended to the economy. Modern liberals support Keynesian economics and therefore increased state management of the economy, whereas classical liberals believe in laissez-faire economics and therefore limited state regulation in the economy. Why the difference? Well, for classical liberals, individuals can stand on their own two feet. Humans can go it alone. While for modern liberals, economic assistance is sometimes needed to promote that individualism. So Keynes's view is to maintain employment. Or we can look at Adlai Stevenson, a former presidential hopeful in the 1950s in the US, where he said, a hungry man is not a free man. You have to help people to be free. You have to help people to realise their God-given talent. Modern liberals believe that markets have a tendency to fail and thus regulation was necessary to ensure that individuals were protected. While classical liberals would have disagreed with this, they think that market regulation will lead to an inevitable curtailment on the ability of individuals to create wealth and keep wealth, which is their sole motivation. Hence, the classical liberal support only for negative freedom, whereas modern liberals support the idea of positive freedom. So positive freedom is the idea that state intervention and societal intervention will encourage the freedom to do something, the freedom to choose to do something, while classical liberals support this negative freedom, the freedom from, that is, the freedom from restraint or the freedom from the state and society and its social mores. Modern liberals believe, though, that the state should remove barriers to freedom. This is why they would support the beverage support and the elimination of the five giants of squalor, want, idleness, disease and ignorance after World War II in the UK. Once individuals did not need to worry about where the next meal was coming from or paying for a sick relative to get medicine, they would be free to fulfil their potential. However, classical liberals believe, as I said, in negative freedom in society, whereby individuals should be free from state and societal obligations, and that includes paying tax. The higher taxes needed to pay for a welfare state are seen as an encroachment upon that negative freedom that they say humans so desire because humans are selfish. Hence, we see that classical and modern liberals are very much divided on how individualism can be nourished and fulfilled. Should it be done with limited government or with an enabling state? Should it be achieved with Keynesian economics or Adam Smith's invisible hand, where the markets are left to regulate themselves? Should individualism be fostered through education and developmentalism, or is this just folly, ignoring the egotism and selfishness of human beings? These are insurmountable divides within liberalism. So there we are. Liberals largely disagree on human nature. Granted, love that word, all liberals believe in human rationality, but that ignores the fact that they have fundamentally different ideas as to what that rationality naturally leads to. Classical liberals think this rationality is respected with a night watchman state, a limited state, while modern liberals think it will result in humans calling for an enabling state. Rationally, people will choose a government that looks after them. Furthermore, while both strands support the centrality of the individual in both society and the economy, resulting in a rigid belief in freedom and acceptance of the harm principle, they have completely different views on how to foster that individualism, partly because of the divides over human capacity and what can nourish that human potential. Classical liberals believe that we are selfish and that is it, and that the economic system and society should reflect that inconvenient truth, whereas modern liberals believe that we can appeal to our better angels and that, with some help from the government, from society, humans can fulfill a much greater potential for good. Okay, that is it for today. I hope you got something out of it as I did. If so, please subscribe and tell others about us. If you really are feeling that you want to spread some positive freedom, then write a nice review wherever you get your pods. Feel free, if you get them through Spotify, to take part in our end of show poll. This pod's one is simply a yes-no on whether liberals are united on human nature. I think they are not, but it is up to you to decide. All right, peeps. Wrap up warm, don't do harm to others, and develop your individualism. Okay, these liberalism puns really aren't working, are they? Until the next time, take care. Bye-bye.